Well, I'm enjoying myself, and this is Radio Entrepreneurs. I want to thank all our listeners who are returning, and they want to hear stories about this economy and how people are all adapting and dealing with this economy. We're all trying to work. We're all trying to figure this out. It's a time of great change. It's a challenge to all of us, and I think it's going to bring out the best in all of us. What's great about this next session is my co-host, must be a legal segment, the fabulous Mark Z from Mark Z Legal Staffing. Hi again, Mark. I feel like the Hollywood Squares today.
I know. Great to be here. I would just want to tell you, just a shout out to the great job that Radio Entrepreneurs is doing. I think our viewership is up like 50%, and the content being pushed out is amazing. And I'm excited about our guests to talk about, you know, some real state-of-the-art legal stuff.
Well, these two guests, we've had them on before. They're dynamite. So we should actually get thousands and thousands of viewers from this one. Sandra Lundy, owner of Lundy Legal, and Deborah Danger, owner of Danger Law. I love that name. Sorry, Sandy. I love that
name. It's the best name ever. Yeah.
The best name, you know. Johnny Danger. Remember that from the old movies. So tell us, could you give us an explanation? What's going on and how are you guys working in this new economy?
I'm adapting. There's a lot of Zoom calls. There, a court is now being conducted by either teleconference or by phone conference. It's working. It's working slowly. It's working with some glitches, but it's working.
And Deborah, do you want to add to that at all?
So I do. So Sandy does primarily family law, divorces, modifications, children issues, and I do estate planning. And I will say there's nothing like a good pandemic to get people who've been procrastinating about their estate plan, who really are contending with life and death issues, whether it be teachers who are now calling me or paraprofessionals. That's been a big uptick. And then, of course, sadly, I also do post-death administration. And so there's been a lot more of that. But as Sandy alluded, you know, the courts were closed. There was no access to justice for several months, which is, as far as I know, unprecedented. And so it's been frustrating on all ends. But also it's been bringing us together. And I hear lots of stories and help lots of people feel better. And they help me feel better.
Well, before I turn it over to my fabulous co-host, I'm going to go off the ranch. I have a question for you, Deborah. And I'm wondering, with estate planning and in November with a new election coming on, potentially we have a new political party coming on, which means a dramatic economic change in philosophy if that happens. I assume that that coupled with a pandemic, it's almost like a mathematical formula. It's like cubed. Are you talking to clients now and saying, you know, you've got to plan now, you can't be doing it later?
So there was a ruling from the IRS and the tax court that whatever tax structure is in place when you make your planning or your gifting or whatever kind of asset protection strategy you make will be the one that you're held accountable to. So, for example, we were worried right now that the federal personal exemption is up to about 11 or 12 million. If you have over that and you gift, and then under this new administration, they lower the exemption to say half, 5 or 6 million, and then you pass away, to what standard will you be held? So it will be the one that's in place when you make the gift and when you document it with the IRS. So there is a window here. If you think, you know, there's gonna be a blue wave and you're concerned about overpaying on taxes, now's the time to do it. And if you think there's going to be a red wave, then you should wait, because it's only been getting better for people who have high net worth backs of people who don't.
These are important subjects. I'm wondering also, and again, I'm going to turn it to you again, Mark, in a second. Sandra, is there a potential chance that with the blue wave, that's going to affect divorces? Should you decide now or later, or it doesn't affect divorce at all?
Well, it's basically the statutes that affect divorce. For instance, for the longest time, alimony was deductible to the payor and includable to the payee. And then 2017 came along and it's neither deductible to the payor nor includable to the payee. And that's a huge difference in how you calculate the amount of alimony. So it's possible that there could be changes on the federal level in family law that affect alimony, child support, property division. There's always that possibility. There's always that possibility. And one of the things that I ask my clients to do is to consult with a tax advisor, because there are issues. For instance, if you get a restricted stock, portion of restricted stock units in your property division, what are the tax implications of that? So I'm always working with tax professionals, because there's always the possibility of something new coming down the pike.
Oh, and I think, you know, I see this a lot with the entrepreneurs I work with. They have to be aware of estate planning, because they're trying to build assets for their family, and they have, and a lot of them, sadly, are in unhappy marriages as well. And these can, you know, you can destroy a lifetime worth of asset building and change a person's financial future. And it's not necessarily the best. But I'm going to turn it over to Mark. I've been monopolizing it. Mark, it's all yours. I'm throwing you the ball.
You know, thank you, Jeff. So again, I feel like when I was a kid, there was a kid who was riding his bicycle, and he says, "You've got peanut butter and my chocolate, chocolate and my peanut butter." And that's like Sandy Lundy and Deborah Danger, because what we're going to talk about is literally the combination of family law and probate, Jeff. You deal, ironically, one of your big areas is family businesses. I know Deborah and Sandy, there's a lot of interconnection. You know, right now, ironically, two hottest areas that we're doing searches for are family law and estate and probate attorneys, because even though the courts are closed and everything's virtual, these situations are really imminent in terms of situations. But if you have a family business and you have to be living with somebody, or you've had a situation that now has gotten graver, then you really have to look at the business. And what Sandy and Deborah are, I think, going to talk about are trying to look at, think outside the box and be pragmatists, as opposed to letting lawyers get all the money and just think long-term for the family and the family business. So can you each talk about, you know, obviously the transition? We're now determined that our marriage is not working, or is in that stage that it's not working, and we're proceeding to divorce. And start with Sandy. Sandy, what are steps that we have to take? Because I've got a family-owned business, and obviously all my equity and our family's equity is tied up in that. And I'm also, one of the big areas, as you know, Sandy, and Deborah probably knows this too, where gray divorces are becoming big. So you're at a stage, I'm older, I'm middle-aged. Take it away. What do you advise during this time?
The first thing to do is be realistic about what divorce is and what it isn't. It's not about revenge. It's not about getting back at anybody. It's about taking care of kids and dividing property. It's important to understand that the courts see a marriage as a partnership. So when a client says to me, "Well, I worked for this business and I built it up and it's mine, and my spouse just stayed home, or my spouse had a much lesser paying job and didn't work as hard," that goes nowhere with the court, because the court sees that one spouse's non-economic contribution helped the other spouse with his super economic contribution. So you have to understand how courts look at these things and not fight against that premise, because you're just going to be losing a lot of money. The other key that you have to understand is that if you have your own business, and it has to be valued. Somebody has to put a value on the business. That is an intrusive process. Right. People are going to go through your books. People are going to ask you questions. The best thing you can do, again, the more you fight about these things, the more you're just putting money in your attorney's pockets and wasting money, and that's money you could use for your retirement, your business, or your kids. Get your books in order. If you have a CFO, maybe the CFO can speak to a financial expert if the other side has an expert. maybe you and the other side can agree on a financial expert and use one person. It's very, you know, the worst thing you can do is try to kind of hide your finances, because that is a killer in front of a judge. The right. judge will assume that everything you're doing is dishonest.
Right. You know, what's interesting, Sandy, I think when you're going through a divorce, it's, and as you know, Deborah, too, it's an emotional thing, and that's the problem. So you're thinking for the now. And I think if you can use these steps you talk about, then you're prepared for, like, where Deborah would step in, and then you can work out your estate planning, because as you say, you're talking about kids, you're talking about relationships, and the transition of the business will definitely affect the family long-term. I know, and Jeff knows, kids that have been affected by the problems of family businesses when families have gone through divorce later on with the estate planning and probating. Deborah, can you talk about that, please?
So I have a couple things to say. First of all, to your point, Mark, divorce seems to be more an emotional process for women. And divorce seems to be more of a business transaction to men. And so to Sandy's point, men go on the offensive and they start hiding things and they start gifting things and they start wasting assets. And women just kind of sit there paralyzed and say, how could he do this to me and the kids? So that different perspective sometimes informs people's behaviors. And I like to coach people to think about divorce as a transition from being husband and, you know, spouses and co-parents. And so therefore you can focus, hopefully, this is your biggest asset. How can you retain the value? Maybe you gift some to the kids so that the appreciation goes to the next generation as opposed to this one. Maybe you talk about a succession plan so that you preserve the issue. So many people I know, their plan seems to be dying at their desk, which doesn't allow for a seamless, fluid transition to whoever even needs to pay the bills or collect the rent or make the lease installment. So doing some thinking about this now, whether it be how you keep your books and the impression you make on the judge, on your kids, and on your soon-to-be co-parent ex-spouse, like that messaging, if you focused your energy on how to preserve the assets so there was more for everyone as opposed to more for just less for just you, I think that would impress the judges, make it easier for your attorneys, you'd spend less money on fees, and in the end, you would all have more.
I think that's good advice, and I try to tell all my clients who are getting divorced, what's your priority? Is it, you know, the preservation of family, or is it about a fight and money? And I always try, it's really about family, and I know that Mark and I both agree with you on all that, and when I do hear from clients about hiding, I tell them that's just going to be a boomerang that's going to hit you in the head. It's not a good process to do.
Can I jump in there for a second?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, piggyback on what Deb is saying, one of the things that's wonderful, if you can have a cooperative relationship during divorce, is you can get as creative as you want. In a divorce, you can, maybe you want to give your spouse some share of stock, a minority interest. Maybe you want to establish a trust for the kids. You should start thinking about what the end point is the minute you start getting divorced. But you should also understand that the more control you and your attorneys have and the less you give to a judge, the more creative you can be and the more that you will create a structure that works for your family. The judge doesn't know your family.
And will protect your assets and protect your business if they're entrepreneurs.
Right. You know, Sandy and Deb, you know, what's interesting is, I know that Sandy, you're a mediator also,
yes.
Right? You do mediation. And
yes.
You know, what's interesting, and Deborah was talking about most men look at this as a business transaction. So it's interesting. Maybe, again, I think it's such there is an emotion, and a lot of, whether it's men or women, they may not think of what's the afterlife of the divorce. And if, as Sandy was saying, some great suggestions, but it's like a lot of time getting them to the table to get out of the emotion. So if you had maybe not only a divorce, you know, you can use your skills as an attorney, but you have like a mediator to sort of mediate the business, maybe. That could be helpful because, again, a lot of family businesses, small businesses, Jeff said, they just, it's funny, they look at divorce and they should sometimes look at it as a transaction, but they don't, because in business, would you look for spending 3 times as many legal fees? Would you do that? Would you sacrifice like a business relationship by win the battle, lose the war, where with your kids and your kid's parent, your opposite parent, you'll lose a relationship by pushing that divorce too much. So I think if they looked at it sometimes as a business transaction, the same way they do, and sort of try to take some emotional or just look at it as a business transaction in the negative sense, maybe it could work out better.
Well, I'm gonna have to jump in. We're gonna have to probably have them come back. We've exceeded our time limit for this, and I remind everybody, we've been speaking with Sandra Lundy, owner of Lundy Legal, and also Deborah Danger of Danger Law. Sandra, if someone wants to get hold of you, how would they find you?
My information is right over there. Oh, right over there. There. It's Sandy Lundy, www.lundylegal.com, and you can email me at sandy@lundylegal.com.
On my screen, it's Deborah is down here. So Deborah, there, I'm pointing right to your card. Why don't you tell us how people can find you?
So my information is behind me. I'm not even going to pretend that I know what side it's on. And I can be reached at dangerlaw.com. You can email me at deborah@dangerlaw.com or give me a call at 617-789-4511. And I always try to answer my own phone. So I figure you're calling to talk to an attorney and ask questions as opposed to leave me a message. So if I don't answer, leave me a message and I'll call you back as soon as I'm free.
That's good. Mark, no time for radio entrepreneurs call out. How do people find you?
Thanks, Jeff. MarkZLegal.com, MarkZLegal.com, and 617-338-1300.
And we see Mark Z on Radio Entrepreneurs every week. And believe it or not, you can find Mark on Radio Entrepreneurs on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and Stitcher. That's a lot of Mark Z.
So, what do we want to know?
And we hope the two of you come back again as things are changing in this economy. I'll remind everybody, this is Radio Entrepreneurs.